are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. As she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. As she is like the merchant ships, as she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. As she considereth a field, and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. As she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy, as she is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou wast granted by renewal on this holy day of rest, that we and our children may come up to thy house of prayer, and then thou also granteth many reasons that it may be a house of praise, where in the midst of all the trials and difficulties of this life, then thou yet granteth many precious and good things unto us and our children, then thou yet maketh the great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth. Then we commend and remember the countries where there is war, so much death and so much suffering, nigh to despair where it continues, may they be given to cry unto thee. Countries where there is civil unrest, many countries, the number is only increasing. Where there is persecution, there were those in this day that had nothing to eat, undoubtedly have starved. Many in prison, many in institutions of mercy. There are the homeless ones, the destitute ones, the addicted ones, the great multitudes that have not thy word, or who willfully despise it, as spending this day as other days. And then what an envy and what a hatred, many family circles that are torn asunder, many husbands without a wife without a husband, many children that have no loving home, that are seeking it elsewhere, and ah, Lord, then in the midst of all the difficulties of life, then thou granteth unto us and our children so much. We humbly beg of thee, may it be all thy goodness and all thy mercies that brings us to a low place. Ah, to receive that humble heart, and that it may be the goodness and the long-suffering of the Lord that leadeth to repentance and a need in our hearts for that precious Savior to be washed and cleansed of all of our sins in his precious blood. That is the one thing needful for us and our children. To that end, thou hast appointed the means of grace in thy goodness and in thy wisdom. Then thou wast given the Sabbath day, 1 in 7, that we may tend especially to the needs of our soul. To that end, thou wast also instituted marriage and the family circle, that thou may work from generation to generation, performing the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, may it please thee to do it in this evening hour. Come down with thy power, with thy spirit, and with thy blood. Do go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart. Those that are lawfully hindered, also from dwelling to dwelling. May the prayers be multiplied to that end, for the conversion of sinners, and that thy people may be edified, and that they may have no rest, till they may come to a saving knowledge of thy dear Son, and a sacrifice, and to be given to embrace the same by true saving faith. Wilt thou bless the manifold labors, do help the consistory. By renewal we commend unto thee the brother who has laid down his office. May it please thee to bless thy word on the Sabbath day and during the week. Bless thy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. Do bless thy holy word in our Christian school. We commend unto thee the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, with all their difficulties, with the hatred, with the war, and with their blindness. We commend unto thee all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team. Do help Bible translators and those that bring many times with impossible ways thy word to the ends of the earth, Lord. The labors are manifold. The need is great. It is known unto thee. Servants for thy vineyard, converted, called, and sent, thrust out by thee. Teachers for our Christian schools that are bound around the old truth and the old ways, and also a church worker for our mission field. We commend unto thee our nation that has departed so far from thee. We commend unto thee our leaders federally, provincially, and of the cities and of this town, for those that are striving to uphold the biblical ways, wilt thou grant strength and courage in the midst of all the opposition, prayerfully looking up unto thee, that the means, the labors may be blessed. May it please thee to pour out thy Holy Spirit upon our community. By renewal, we lay before thee the many needs. Oh, do remember all the mourning ones. Remember all the elderly ones, our care home. And remember all the sick and afflicted ones, ah, Lord. Thou knowest all the circumstances, the pain, the difficulties, the fear, the weariness of the body. Wilt thou remember them all? Also when they become so overwhelmed and so discouraged, when it seems that the prayers are not heard, but that it only becomes worse, Lord. Do then be mindful of them, and above all things, may these special and serious callings, may they come forth out of thy right hand. May they be sanctified. We remember the little newborn infant in the hospital, so small, well to grant growth, and that in due time, that the parents may be enabled and privileged to take their precious little gift to their dwelling. Lord, we humbly ask thee, well to bless and remember the family circles. May love abound. We live in a time that the temptations are so manifold, and that many times sin seems to be sin no more. But wilt thou remember us, and then in a special way, wilt thou remember all of our young people, that they may receive the desire of their heart to receive a future wife, a future husband, under the old truth, enabling them to walk in the ways of the Lord. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. And then we humbly ask thee in this evening, we are called upon to speak about another commandment. 'Tis a delicate subject. Well, to grant the proper words that we may be given to speak in plain language, ears to hear, hearts to perceive, that we may be given to do, fathers and mothers, young people, all of us, what our hand finds to do, that we may in all sincerity pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then we commend all unto thee, addictions, temptations. May they be given to seek help prayerfully, not to despair, and also for this commandment. Then thou wast sent thy dear Son to be the great bridegroom who was white and ruddy, to redeem his church, to pay for her debt, and to set her free, that the black bride may become white, well-pleasing in thy sight. To that end, wilt thou truly grant prayer for one another, that in the latter days of the earth, that thou may keep us and our children, that thou may remember the family circles, and above all to grant, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, the tender fear of the Lord. Wilt thou so help us and bless us, forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 360, the five stanzas. Bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered, and be happy all thy days. Add what follows, Psalter 360, the five stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 41, the question and answers 108 and 109. Question 108. What doth the seventh commandment teach us? Answer. That all uncleanness is accursed of God, and that therefore we must with all our hearts detest the same, and live chastely and temperately, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Question 109. Doth God forbid in this commandment only adultery and such like gross sins? Answer. As since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. Therefore, he forbids all unchaste actions, gestures, words, thoughts, desires, and whatever can entice men thereto. Lord's Day 41 speaks of the seventh commandment, the protection of the family circle. With three thoughts, in the first place, the ordinance of the family. Secondly, the requirements of the family. And thirdly, the protection for the family. The seventh commandment, the protection of the family circle. First, the ordinance of the family, because we read in answer 108, whether in holy wedlock or in single life. Second, the requirements of the family. Then we hope to speak of all the enticements. And in the third place, the protection for the family, to speak of the sins forbidden. Thus first, the ordinance of the family. Beloved congregation, then in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we are called to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai and to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Have already heard six commandments, and now in this evening, then we are called upon to speak of the seventh. And the Heidelberg Catechism, it is in the part of gratitude and the part of sanctification. In the scriptures, we read different saints that have fallen into the sin of the seventh commandment. In a certain respect, then there is a difference with the seventh commandment with many others. When we consider not to kill, when the Lord has created Adam and Eve, there was not the slightest inclination to hurt and to kill each other. the eighth commandment, not the slightest inclination to steal. But now in the seventh commandment, it goes about desires, and they are beautiful and precious desires with which the Lord has created Adam and Eve. Then in the state of rectitude, they had a desire for each other, Adam for Eve and Eve for Adam. But through our deep fallen Adam, then those desires have also become corrupt, even perverted. And now when we consider the seventh commandment, then it concerns an institution of which we read already in the first chapter and the second chapter in the Bible. In Genesis 1, then it speaks that he created mankind, male and female, with a desire for one another. And then in Genesis 1, verse 28, to command to be fruitful and multiply. In Genesis 2, there we find the two roses, which are still left out of paradise after the fall. In the first three verses, then we read of the institution of the Sabbath day. And in the verses 18 through 24, the institution of marriage, how that the Lord, out of a rib from Adam, has made a beautiful wife, brought his wife to him, and so she became his wife. And now concerning those two roses, we live in a time then it is clear that Satan has but a short time, that he is doing everything with all the powers of hell to erase those two roses from the face of the earth, that there shall be no reminder of that heavenly creator, but he shall never prevail. Then the Lord, then he shall uphold those two institutions until the time that Christ comes upon the clouds of heaven. And then what precious roses they are, the Sabbath day and the family circle. And now the Lord has given a commandment in his wisdom and goodness for the protection of that family circle. Because the family circle, that is the foundation of the church. And to understand it rightly, of course, the foundation of Christ. But for the welfare of the church, and then we need family circles where God's word has a special place. And upon those blessings, know no perfection. But there the Lord has promised his blessing, and that he shall work from generation to generation. Then the family circle, that is the foundation of a society, the foundation of a country. When we read the history of the world, how many empires have crumbled because of the great sins against the seventh commandment. And now concerning marriage, then the Lord has given the type of Christ as the bridegroom and the church as the bride in Ephesians. And that is also remarkable. In the epistle to the Ephesians, There are 155 verses, and 16 of those verses, they pertain to marriage and the family circle, thus that is more than 10%. And other six verses, they speak of the sins against the family circle. And when the Apostle Paul was given to write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit concerning the headship of the husband and the subjection of the wife, then he says, I speak of a mystery. I speak of Christ and his church. And then the bridegroom, then he has stated in Matthew 11, verse 29 and 30, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Thus, when we speak of marriage, then it is also necessary and profitable to speak of the beginning. And may it please the Lord, if it may be according to his will, to grant unto our young people a future husband and a future wife. And then it is so important that the beginning is right. And to that end, in the first place, with prayer. We have a chapter in the Bible in Genesis, Genesis 24, 67 verses, that gives instruction for prayer, for marriage, and then in that chapter, then we read of much prayer. And then for our young people, then they do well to oftentimes read Proverbs 31, where there is spoken of that virtuous woman and also of her husband. Thus, in the first place, prayer. In the second place, that our young people, that they are given to honor their father and mother in this respect. And that it is so needful that fathers and mothers gathering around God's word, that they speak to their children concerning these matters, because our young people, they can have many questions concerning courtship, and then it is needful, the responsibility of fathers and mothers to instruct them, and then to honor our fathers and mothers, then it is necessary, only fitting, when a young man, when he has a desire to marry a girl, that he goes to her father and that he asks that father, that can cause a little sweat. But if there is true love, then you shall go and that you shall tell that father that you have a desire to court his daughter, of course, in conjunction with mother, and that when it may work out, that you would like to marry her. And then, of course, for our young men, not to come as the rich young ruler or as a Pharisee, but still then you should make it so that such a father is glad when such a young man comes for his daughter, and that that father has a deep conversation, and that he asks different questions. Could just think of a few. That father says, son, do you ever visit a bar? Do you watch porn? then maybe you shall ask, but what if father does the same thing? That, of course, is not good, not a good example. But then maybe formerly he's done so. And then he can even have a closer conversation that he can tell that son how detrimental and how ruining it is for marriage. Then also concerning, because in marriage, under general circumstances, then the husband is the breadwinner. And then that father may ask that son his job, his schooling, what he intends to do, because parents have a desire that their daughters do not come in the poorhouse, but with the Lord's blessing, that they may be provided for. So to give an example, if a young son would come to a father with clothing that is falling apart, and he would come with a truck with great big wheels with expensive rims. Do not understand me. Misunderstand me, boys. I'm not saying you may not have a nice truck, but frugal, that we do not spend our money foolishly. And then also, of course, for the daughter, also her responsibility to speak with her parents concerning that young man, and to be a daughter, as we have read together out of Proverbs 31, 'tis so needful in all simplicity, modesty. We do not have to broaden it out further. May the Lord remember our young people and keep them from any sins. It is so important. Undoubtedly, many marriages that where it does not go so well, divorces, many times it can be traced out to the beginning. Concerning marriage, then let us also add, I think all our sons and daughters know it, the necessity that we are given to ask the Lord for one in the church, one that has respect for God's word, and even one that may fear the Lord, that you may be one. We only have to give the example out of nature. Sometimes young people come with the question, but could it not be used for conversion? Can be. But marriage is serious business. It is not missionary work. And the one from an easier religion or from the world, they have the advantage on account of our fallen nature. And young people, just simply remember, in nature, a robin and a blackbird, they are about the same size, a little different in color. But I have never yet seen a blackbird and a robin build a nest together. So I think that is simple instruction. In our marriage form, then our forefathers, they have listed three reasons for marriage. And we also read in Malachi 2 verse 15, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Thus the first reason is that each faithfully assist each other in this life and a better. Thus that speaks of the necessity that also young courting couples can be a lot of shame, especially when we are young. But that we speak of his word, what we have heard in church that binds in a special way together. Thus the Lord has instituted marriage for the ingathering of his church by grace. The second reason, the children which it shall please the Lord to give them. We live in a world where children are taken, then it is still a great privilege. We have many good things left amongst us that children are given to see, are seen as a special blessing and a special gift. And then in third place, to avoid all uncleanness. Thus then in this Lord's Day, there's a very broad Lord's Day. It includes the solemn responsibilities of husbands and wives. And the husband is called to be the head, not a dictator. A husband does not receive a slave, not a pupil, but a loving helpmeet. And we have mentioned the example that Paul has given of Christ and his church for God's people as the bride, at least when they are in the right place. What do you think, congregation? Is it difficult when God's people are on the right place to sacrifice and to walk according to God's word, and then you shall say no? And so it is also in marriage. The more love, compassion, and tenderness that a husband may show to his dear wife, the easier it is for the wife to be on her rightful place. We read in 1 Peter 3 verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heir together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Thus the calling of husbands to be the head, we read it in the form to instruct, to comfort, and to provide, that he may treat his dear wife as a princess. But then, of course, the wife also has her responsibilities. And then we read in Titus 2 verse 5, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Then in the verses 2 and 3, also the duties of aged men and women. Thus the place of a mother with children, that is in the home, and when she may use her feminine gifts and talents to that end, what a transforming power that can have in the home. There was a William Ross Wallace who died in 1881. He has made that simple statement, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Then it is necessary, because we read of the wife that she is a vine, frail, she needs support, and a vine is for ornament, and that is to be fruitful, but then a vine needs support. And then further, then we read concerning the home. We have read it out of Proverbs 31. Her children shall arise up and call her blessed. her husband also, and he praises her. In John 11, verse 36, then the multitude is said concerning Jesus, with the death of Lazarus, behold, how we loved him. That is so necessary in family circles, that the children may behold and see how much husband and wife love one another, that it becomes very evident, that they may have the example, no perfect marriages. Nevertheless, that there may be a home where love dwells, that they may have an example. In our day, then, there is much spoken of marriage counselors. I do not say they do not have a place, but let us always remember that in the first place, a husband and wife, they are each other's counselors with a textbook as the Holy Word of God. Then marriage, that is something of sacrifice, of commitment, and a great blessing. On the other hand, also important for young people, maybe even more important for our young girls, that we must not idolize marriage too much. And when we are young, that it is our thought, if I am now married, then I shall be happy, and it is a happy thing, and then all my difficulties shall disappear, and it is true. With two, then you may share your joy, so you have double joy. And with trials and afflictions, with your worries, then you may also share them. Thus they become less. But let us always remember that there was only one marriage in paradise, and that was of Adam and Eve. And every other marriage, that is a marriage outside of paradise, two sinners being united together to live, to dwell together, to raise their family, and to that end much prayer is necessary, and above all prayer concerning the first purpose that is stated in our marriage form, and that concerns the coming of Christ's kingdom. Let us first sing. Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows? 435, the stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. the seventh commandment, the protection of the family circle, the ordinance of the family, and now secondly, the requirements of the family. And then we are to speak of enticements. And we read in answer 109, since both our body and soul are temples of the Holy Ghost, he commands us to preserve them pure and holy. That sentence also makes a separation. Has the Holy Spirit, by his grace, taken abode in our hearts, and that everything has become different with those desires and longings for the living God, and that the Holy Spirit teaches what all lives within? Of course, when we are under the Word of God, then we still have a conscience. Oh, my dear youth, may you be given to prayerfully keep that conscience tender. That is a gift, not enough for eternity. In the context our instructors speak, and the way of sanctification for the child of God. But we must all remember we are God's creation. He has a right to our bodies and our souls. And on account of all the good gifts that he grants unto us and our children, then the Lord demands obedience to the Word of God. And now when our instructors speak of a temple or a building, then there is a door or doors, then there are gates that must be very carefully watched. And then we think especially of eye gate, ear gate, and mouth gate. Oh, how prayer is necessary. And the greatest danger is that within that temple there is that flesh that is a traitor that has connection with all the enemies outside. And the instructors, they mention different matters. They speak of words. In Ephesians 5 verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, necessary to speak of company. We read in Proverbs 13 verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companions of fools shall be destroyed. Then we speak of music. For how many has music led on the wrong path? Music has a special power to that end in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar has used music to work on the emotions of the people, that they would be given to bow before their idol. Clothing, let us dress modestly. The consistory has handed out a booklet a little more than a year ago. I hope you have all read it. That for our females, that we dress modestly, even more so when we come up to God's house, that we grieve not the Lord and also sin against the seventh commandment. And let us also mention swimming. For many it seems, when there is water, that God's word does not apply, but that also speaks of swimming, and therefore there should not be swimming of the sexes together. They even tell us that on the internet that we can find places as manufacture, not from the church, but from the world, concerning modest swimwear. Then further, alcohol. Many times Solomon in Proverbs, he speaks of alcohol and sins against the seventh commandment together. We could speak of idleness. But now in our day, where do many of those matters, where do they all come together? And that is with the internet. The television has destroyed millions, and the open internet shall destroy billions. And Christ has said concerning the world in Luke 16, verse 8, "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Then in the world also many voices are being heard concerning the great danger of internet, not only concerning its content, but concerning our time. And the technology is here to stay. Most of the information in the medical field, education, the business world, that goes over the internet. And it shall become more and more a part of our life, whether we desired it or not. But then we have our responsibility, and let us do together what our hand finds to do. In the world, then there are many, because in Staples, thereby renewal for years, you could not buy a cell phone, but now you can buy a cell phone. And I asked him, and the man plainly told me, because there have come so many requests, they did not say from the NRC, or from Reformed, or from churches, but we receive so many requests from people that they understand the danger, how detrimental that open internet is, that it takes so much of their time, that it destroys their social life in earlier days. Many times when there was trouble in marriage, then there was strongly advised to get rid of the television. And that even more applies to the internet. Then there are also many in the world with their internet, their phone, that they have simplified the same, and that they have got rid, with maybe other people's help, sometimes it's quite complicated, but that they have deleted many apps from their phone which were detrimental for their personal and family life, that they have a very simple phone left. And how was that with us and our children. Because many of these enticements, they all come together on a smartphone. And therefore many warnings have been given. Already many consequences are being experienced from open internet. Many husbands and wives, many times, it surfaces after a few years of marriage. What has been done in our youth causes much anxiety, much distress, a loss of trust. And to that end, congregation, shall we blindly continue with our open internet and with all the apps? Because a few months ago in school, we have heard that there are those apps. It is very complicated, but there are people that can help where the filters do not even work properly. And technology has gone so far that our phone, that it shall sense what our desires are. Thus, if we go a little way, then the phone shall supply means that we shall go further till we are destroyed. Thus then the question is, are we willing to do what our hand finds to do? Are we willing to sacrifice, or shall we destroy ourselves? Two options. Thus may we all hear our calling. We live in a very difficult time. We have enough examples. We could give the example of a shipman that he comes in a harbor, and when there are markers that point out the dangers, then it would be a foolish captain if he would sail in those places. If on the shore he saw small and great ships shipwrecked, then he would stay from this place. And to that end, then the smartphones, the internet, when we think pornography, a $1 billion industry, how big the number is, we do not know. How many have become addicted? And therefore the solemn calling that we do what our hand finds to do before it is too late. The television has destroyed many a church, many a congregation, and many a family. And if we do not take heed to the warnings, then the same shall happen, is already happening, because when a couple comes to the parsonage struggling with these things, then you know that there are so many more that do not come. And for those families that are struggling, may the Lord remember you. May you prayerfully be given to seek help. But if we have it all on our smartphone, then how can we really pray? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I read in 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32, of the tribe of Issachar, that they were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And the technology has developed so quickly that many overwhelmed, others throw up their hands in the air, it's a lost case anyway. And to that end, maybe even more for the older generation, there are among the youth, the younger families, that do take these things seriously. but to have understanding of the times to that end, young people, then we need also your help. It is mentioned in 1 Samuel 1 Kings 20 that when Ahab had to go to battle against Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, then he has inquired of the prophet who must begin the battle. And do you know the answer, young people? Then the prophet of the Lord has said, the young men. And then there were 232 young men that were used to begin the battle, and they have conquered. Our young people oftentimes have much more understanding, and therefore, young people, then we need your help, that you may be given to also speak with your parents, tell what is all available, and that together you may be given to do what your hand finds to do, and that the blessing of the Lord may rest upon it. Our third thought, the protection of the family, the sins forbidden, they are manifold: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, unbiblical remarriage, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we live in a day, what a terrible day that we live in. Transgenderism. Let us not be part of that transgenderism congregation, but you shall say we are against it. I hope so. When has that begun? The last 10 years? No. It began the last century, where the distinction between male and female was beginning to be erased. When women began to wear men's clothing, called an abomination in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. When long skirts became short, when long hair, the glory of the woman, was also cut short, when both men and women, they began both to wear shorts, men with chains around their neck, that's where it has begun. Thus then it is so important, with the baptized forehead, the first chapter of the Bible, male and female, he has created them. And now concerning this commandment, not to trust in our own strength. We have examples of saints in the Bible that have fallen so deeply. But the need of prayer, much prayer, unceasing prayer, that we are given to do what our hand finds to do. And then concerning this sin, also for the sin against this commandment. Oh, we have heard in this morning of a fountain, and that is a fountain of blood which has been shed by the great bridegroom of the church, who was white and ruddy. And to that end, the calling to repent and not to despair, and not to repent in our own strength, but with an eye upon the Lord, and with the need for that precious bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to place himself under the sword of his Father's justice, that he may redeem. Oh, what a dowry he has paid to redeem his bride, that she may become white, also pardoned of the sins against the seventh commandment, young and old. Then concerning this commandment, then by renewal, for all of us, guilty. But it may be proclaimed that there is forgiveness. The Lord, he bind the matters upon the heart. May we as families be given to speak concerning all the temptations, that we keep our life simpler, as many in the world are doing at the moment. Shall it then have to be said that the children of the world are wiser than the children of this generation? The Lord bind the matter upon the heart and grant his blessing. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day and yet a few words to speak. Well, to bind it upon the heart, may our hands be given to do what they find to do, and that we may be spared from so many temptations of this world, although, O Lord, the evil dwells within. Above all, wilt thou grant the tender fear of the Lord, that is the best filter, the fear of the Lord, a love for thee, a hatred of sin, Lord, then we need to be kept. Wilt thou keep us and our dear children, bind the family circles together round about thy holy word. Wilt thou convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. Wilt thou watch over us in the week which we have commenced, in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected, but above all from an unprepared death. Keep us from sin and temptation. Keep us under thy kind care and thy good protection. Wilt thou bring us together up to thy house for a midweek service. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Grant some rest for our bodies and for our minds, and that we may awake refreshed in the morning hour, that we may take our duties upon us with strength and courage. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 142, the stanzas 1 and 2. God, be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgression now. And what follows, Psalter 142, the first two stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.